I'm very pleased to have in our Goldies podcast call Laura von der Gröben. Hello, Laura. How are you doing?
Hello, Barbara. Thank you for the invite. I'm quite fine. I had a very pleasant Saturday afternoon, and I'm looking forward to our talk now.
Okay, that's perfect. It will be still be pleasant, even more pleasant, I can promise. Good. So, Laura, what always interests my audience is about what moves you, because we're talking about in the context of Mobility Moves Minds, and also the context how we met, right, at the Goldies program. And so what moved you this week?
What moved me this week? Very interesting question. I was moved by being more focused, because I'm a kind of person who has always 1,000 new ideas. And on the same time, it's very important to be very focused. And in my work, I'm working with leaders and I'm giving leadership training. And I realized that to be exactly on point, it's very, very to this was the topic which moved me this week.
And when you looked into this, what moved you and how you approached that, what was your first action item you changed this week than before, what you did before?
Oh, now the connection is bad.
Really? Oh my God. Okay.
The first action item I took.
Yes.
Okay, the first action item I took was that I realized that if I try to put too many ideas in one session, that the quality of the session goes down. And so the first action I took was to really say to myself, Laura, stop, keep calm, breathe, and focus on one topic and go make a deep dive, and then the quality of your work will get better.
So to better illustrate how we can imagine how that kind of sessions work, right? So you have leaders on site or online in your training?
I have them on site in my training, and it was a group of 15 leaders. And the course was about communication. And I wanted to fit in an extra topic, which I just read a book about last week. And I wanted to fit it in, but it was too much for this group. And so I decided during the process, when I realized, okay, maybe that, and this is not the right section, to not follow this idea, to put a new idea into the course and just stay at the old part.
What made you think about, let's say, to add this extra topic? Was it this why you were so fascinating about what you read?
Yeah, exactly. That was why I was super fascinated about what I read. And it was about the work of Brené Brown, about she has how to develop more trust in with yourself. So your trust in yourself and also in your team. And I wanted to add that in, and I was like super excited about it. But I think I can edit like in 2 or 3 weeks into my course, but now I just have to process it first for myself. And that was my realization. And I found it really interesting for me to realize that it's more important to first focus and then to get very detailed. And then afterwards I can go out with that. So, yeah.
Yeah, so digesting that first. And on the other hand, I completely understand you. And I think many of our audience listeners as well, because especially like the ones like us that are really excited about a new finding, or like you said, what someone wrote about, really we want to share it, right? We would like to really say, hello world, it's there, and we would like to share it so that everyone can benefit from that, that actually, for example, booked you or booked me in a training or in a course, correct?
Absolutely. And I think exactly this paradoxon between I want to share it and I need to understand it completely mm-hmm. before I can share it. That was what was moving me so much because, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the point. It's about finding the right, I call it always like, it's like the right portion by portion. It's like with a great, let's say, 7-course dinner, to have it really in small bites and not starting with the overall overwhelming part. And so that's what I hear from you. And the other point I found very interesting is what I hear from you also is about the self-reflection and self-training period before you bring it to the market, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so yeah, the course you're offering, is it like a one-time or do you have a couple of weeks training where everyone is being together? Can you describe it a little bit?
It depends on the company and on the and on the company needs, but in this case, it's has 4 modules, and each module is 3 days, so it's over half a year in total.
Okay, so 4 modules each 3 days, and then half a year. About visibility, so how to gain visibility for ourselves, how to improve it, and then take that learning and the methods back to our clients. So communications has a lot to do, of course, with being visible, making something visible, making a person visible. So how much is visibility part of your training so far? How much visibility do you actually train?
I train visibility in case of that the leaders I'm working with, they need to find their own clarity and they need to reflect more about themselves so that they really understand what are my strengths, what are my values in life, what am I standing for. And if they are clear with that, it's far easier to go out and say, hey, this is my way, how, or this is my style, how I lead, this is how I work together with my team. And they can stand up for their for themselves more. And I think this has everything to do with visibility.
Yeah, because I found it very interesting, because the point is then what I hear from you is on the one hand side is this whole self-reflection part, and then looking into, yeah, what how you call it, what I'm standing for. So what is my mission? What mm-hmm. is my drive? And also gaining and, yeah, working on the self-confidence. I think that's for me always the point to really get into, to talk about it, right? Because when you're less self-confident, or let's say very perfection oriented, then the communication part could start very late, right? And then it's a pity that you don't communicate about yourself. So it's also about a perfect timing, isn't it?
Yeah, a perfect timing. And may I take that one point further? I think it's also about having the right intuition for yourself and to say, okay, I can go there at the moment. I can mm-hmm. open myself, for example. And then another situation, which may seem to be similar from the outside, it's not good to open yourself up that far. And so you need the intuition to understand, okay, where can I do what?
Yeah. So it's like finding the right doses. I even don't know if that's an English term, but the right dose to say, okay, now it's good. That's enough now. I will hold back a little bit more and then look into also this gut feeling, right? The intuition, what you're saying. Do you have an example of a case, and of course a participant. I mean, we are not looking for the names right now, or the company names, but can you describe a little bit what happened then before, after, when a participant worked with you, and then when the program actually was finalized?
Yes, of course. I think a typical situation would be that there might be in a team a tense atmosphere, and it's not that people scream at each other, but they are like, okay, is it safe to open myself? They are always in doubt, and if people are in doubt, they don't tend to tell their leaders, oh, I'm having a problem with this, or they don't tend to say, I'm worried about this project because maybe it's wrong what we are doing, because they are afraid that they get exposed, or that the leader says, oh, they are laughing about them or stuff like that. So if the people work with me, they get not only a new communication style, but also, yeah, I think it's a change of mindset that they are more strength orientated, more resource orientated. That a typical case, for example, last week told me a client 2 months ago, we tend to scream in meetings with with each other. And now this is super seldom. Maybe it occurs. Yeah, he said it doesn't occur anymore.
Yeah,
it's not that. Of course, it's always a possibility that you can fall back into old habits. But then I also give them a way out, like how to get out of the old habits again, because it's pretty normal. So that they don't beat up each themselves that they are making the mistakes again, but they are more like, ah, interesting, this is happening. So they get more awareness, and then they can change their behavior in the future. And of course then they can talk about more what is going wrong, and they can improve things, and the quality gets better, and also the client is happier.
Yeah, I mean, that's very interesting part, because this way of, I call it going to the balcony and looking at the, let's say, at the table of where I'm usually sitting together with others. So taking also a personal opinion maybe out of the equation to a certain extent, is that also part of the training? So to take back maybe the personal, or the individual, let's say, opinion, and rather look at the topic, at the content. Is that right, or do I understand it wrong?
Yeah, you understand it right. I always work with the term ego. So it's not about putting your ego on the table, but to put the higher solution, or what is our biggest goal? Where are we aiming to? And then you can, the people can put their ego away and go for the big goal.
Yeah, I think that's even, I mean, not only in these times, a very important part to look into where the ego stands. Let's say it becomes the middleman before something gets being resolved, and how to make it, I would not say smaller, but put it aside, like you were describing very interestingly. In my research on mobility moves minds about resilience, what I learned from psychologists was about that we have a team identity and we have an individual identity. And a team where its members look into the achievements, the goals, but also the roadmap to actually become more successful, is where they actually put aside the individual, the personal identity. And I think that's what resonates a lot to what you said, and about the ego, but also the example. I mean, we're laughing now, but it's not very, let's say, uncommon that really teams start to scream or team members start to scream at each other and not knowing how to really put what is worrying them into a word, right, or into a good sentence. So are you also then training, you mentioned that a little bit, this communication style. So are you also training on how to communicate, how to phrase it?
It's part of the training, but it's not like the focus part of the training. Of course, we're doing like role plays. We're role playing in the training. And then we say, we look, how can you frame it, or what is a better better part to frame it? But the focus is more about your inner mindset, because mm-hmm. if you are clear, I think the words, they come from alone.
Yeah. So it's back to this roadmap to look into the element of self-confidence, self-reflection, and how you call it, the intuition. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, maybe from a picture, it's like suddenly a door that opens up or a gate, and then the communication style follows also the intuition and the self-reflection, the self-confidence, and without the ego that's in the middle anymore, right? Is that a good way to picture that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I just turned around and looked into my little library I have here in the office. Mm-hmm. And I think how I see the benefit and the value you're giving to your participants is where Frank Schirmacher described about the ego. And he called it, it's a game of life, right? And it's and you're focusing on this huge playground and very important playground, the business life, right? So mm-hmm. that we have fun again and are not, let's say, worrying about what one said and the other said, and not being able to really make your point. So to really be more focused and more in yourself. Yeah, so that's what your participants get then at the end of your training. Thank you, Laura, for sharing these insights. And I think they are fascinating weeks and months that your participants spend with you. And we heard also about the before after, so where you can really see the change and also gain on disability. And that's what we talked about today in the Goldis podcast series. Thank you very much, Laura.
Thank you very much, Barbara, for this lovely interview. I really liked the way you asked the questions. It was really nice. Thank you.